It's no secret that we are striving after revival. Can we agree with that? Okay. It's no secret that some of us have encountered the Holy Spirit to different levels. Some of us for the first time, some of us again being filled. And that was great for about 5 weeks. And then something happened. I don't know if you all felt it. A shift was starting to happen. It started becoming uncomfortable. Or we started getting back to comfortable. And I felt like I've been praying a lot. Revival didn't start when Pastor came back from Toronto. At least it didn't in my house. It started before Pastor got back from Toronto, because I remember my 7-year-old daughter coming up to me and saying, "Daddy, I want to ask Jesus in my heart." What am I supposed to do? A 7-year-old, innocent as can be, wanting Jesus. That's awesome if it would have stopped there, but it didn't. What that did was Big Sister started digging into the Word. And Megan just has found Jesus in an awesome, awesome way. I haven't seen somebody, a young person, so on fire for God in a long time. She's hungry. And it's not because Jody and I, you know, crack the whip and say, "You better do your Bible study today." It's not like that at all. It's she took it on her own. She was hungry and she said, I need this food. I need this to eat. I need this to survive. And then all of you guys know, because we've been pretty transparent about Ethan. Ethan is going through deliverance right now. He's already been delivered. He just has to walk in it. We continue to ask for prayers. But we believe God has him. We believe that God has him. So revival started in the Dalton house with our kids. And what did that do? That increased Jody and I's faith. Because we've been praying for a while. Especially for Ethan. We've been praying for a while. We've been praying for a while. Thursday night, I felt a shift in the atmosphere around us. I don't know if you guys who were praying there felt it as much as I did. But it says, you know, that there's an ongoing battle going on. And we're praying, as Tim Sheets here was here Sunday night, and I wasn't real comfortable following Tim Sheets. You know, I'm like, oh, because I'm still chewing on everything that he said. But what I do know is that if we pray, then God comes to answer our prayers. I have a sermon, but I don't think I'm going to give it. Actually, I have about 3 sermons, and I don't think I'm going to give any of them. So, if we go to 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is one of those scriptures that we repeat often. At least around here, we repeat often. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. He says, my people. And I'm going to say that's not just for the Jews. I think he's talking directly to the church. He's talking directly to His people. He's not talking to the lost here. He's not talking to the prodigal right now. He's talking about the people who come into seeking His face and seeking His presence. If my people, if my church, who are called by my name, but humble themselves, I'm going to tell you that prayer is the most humbling thing probably you can do. Why? Because you're admitting that you need help. You're admitting that I can't do this alone. So if we would humble ourselves and pray, there's a shift in the atmosphere when we pray. The principalities of darkness do not like it. We started to see that Thursday night. Tim Sheets said we need to get bolder in our faith. We need to stand stronger and pray things that we've never prayed before or ever had the courage to pray before. I've always prayed, "Well, God, please have your will in Ethan's life." His scripture says He sets the captives free. He makes them free. And when His people pray and seek His face, He'll honor that. Four hours a week doesn't cut it. And I am so... First off, I want to apologize. This isn't a Presbyterian service like was advertised last week. Who did that? I don't know if I've ever been to a Presbyterian service. But what we're going to talk about is real life things. Real life things. So... 4 hours a week. 2 on Sunday morning. 2 on Wednesday night. When I read, and there is no coincidences, what have we been studying for the last 2 years as a church? We went into Acts to find out who we are as a church. Right? Who we are as a body of believers. We went into Hebrews, which God revealed so much to me. It gave me a lot of headaches. It's pretty deep. It's in there. But what is He saying? He goes, "You're overcomers. You're victorious." So if we would take that as a church that we just learned in Acts, and then we take it in Hebrews and say, "We are overcomers. We're going to get through this with God." Why is our prayers, "God, do what you want"? Our prayers need to have authority. Our prayers need to be in front of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One of the sermons that I had was talking about kingship. When we have the ear of the King, we better have something to say. When we kneel before the King of Kings, we better go there with boldness and be, you know, you don't see people go in the King and say, "Well, King, I don't. No, they come in and say, "King, I have something to tell you." When I read the book of Acts, I look at American church and the way American church works, and it doesn't fit. Does that make sense? For you who have studied it, it doesn't fit. It sounds more like the Jewish church when I read it and how we're looking at it. You know, we meet on the Sabbath. We sing our praises. We give our tithes. We listen to the scriptures. And then we go on our merry way. And the rest of the week, we may not have contact with each other. Until when? Until Wednesday when we show up again and go through the things. Something I dared my youth group to do is that we talk every day. the core people of my youth group, we talk every single day. If somebody's going through something, man, we're praying. If somebody's going through something, we're hearing them out. They're sending encouraging words. Why? Because that's the church. You all hearing me? Now, what happens if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and come together and pray? Shift in the atmosphere. We have to reach a new level of expectancy when we pray. We have to reach a new level of boldness when we pray that God is going to answer our prayers. It was a God thing, I'll tell you. We ended youth group early Wednesday night, and I walked into the back, and this is exactly where my heart's been, is what Pastor Rick was sharing, is that the church has gotten numb. Not this church.
Amen.
I don't want to... I'm stepping on toes, but y'all love me, right? The Christian church of America has gotten numb to sin because we don't want the fight. Right? What happens if every Christian, every person who claimed to be a Christian would take a stand against abortion? We don't need a Supreme Court justice in place. Why? Because it's moving the atmosphere. It's changing lives. I think at times we need to repent as a church for our complacency on our stance towards sin. I'm guilty. I'd rather not have the confrontation. You know? I'd rather not have to tell somebody, you know what? You're sinning. I even have that some in youth group. I don't want to run people away. Well, God will get them. God will get them. No. God's truth is enough to set the people free. God will heal our land. We're praying for revival, but are we doing the work it takes to have revival? Are we on our knees, praying, crying out, humbling ourselves before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? It seems like every week there's less and less people coming to church. And that's across America. There's less and less people coming to church because it's not relevant in their lives. Well, when did the church quit being relevant? We used to be the place where people got answers. Ten sheep kept saying, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. Obviously, if you're into literature, you know where that's from. Tale of Two Cities is the best of times, it was the worst of times. And I think we have to look at that as a church, that it's the best time for the church, but it's also the worst time for the church. Because if we're seeking God fully, then things are going to get exposed in our church. Some of the biggest churches out there are going to actually probably start crumbling. Because the compromise that has happened. Very disappointed in one of the big churches in the world. One of their worship leaders saying that God made evolution. One of the biggest churches in the world. They're on every continent other than Antarctica with a church. What does our scripture say? It says the elite will even be deceived. And they're taking thousands of people with them. Where's the church that's filled with the Holy Spirit? Where's the church that's full of truth? Where's our stance on sin? When are we going to whistleblow and say, enough's enough? This is nothing that I had prepared. Some people would say, this is free. I am not giving refunds. Another scripture that we go to that sometimes bleeds into the walls because it's just a church. It's a church scripture. It's just a scripture that the church always knows, you know. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We already quoted Charles Spurgeon, but let's go ahead and quote him again. He says, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for.
Amen.
For so long, we have setting ourselves up against the sin. You know, we stand here in the sin. But what it is that people are walking right by us because we're afraid of confrontation. They're getting on the bus with no check, and they're going straight to hell. And what's the church doing? We're allowing the State Department to dictate what Christianity is or what it isn't. Could you imagine if a million Christians stood up against one sinner? Could you imagine? You're seeing revival in Africa, millions of people upon millions, because they've had enough. They've had enough of their own lives and the misery they've been in that they're willing to change. They know that I need something more. I know I need something more. And I know I need Jesus. Because this isn't fulfilling my life. What happens if Christians actually became desperate for God and for His righteousness? The Message version, I like this version so much. It said, and this is the same scripture, different translation. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. If you find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up over what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things that come up. And when those things come. I am not good with words. Okay, let me rephrase that. I am not a highly educated person. My parents are here. They can attest. They saw all my report cards growing up. I am not a highly educated person, so I had to look up a word. What does steep mean? And it simply means to devote oneself fully. Could you imagine if we devoted our whole life to God's reality in our lives? And I had to look up reality because I just thought, oh, reality is what it is. But it actually means the experiences determines how things appear to you. So if we have God's experience, if we devote our lives to God's experiences, all of His experiences, He wants to give those and share those with us to appear to us. And he said, God initiative, and I had to look up initiative. He said, readiness to embark on bold new ventures. On bold new ventures. The first of a series of actions. I believe that we were moving in God's initiative in this church. I'm not saying we're doing anything wrong. Hear my heart. What I'm saying is if that you always seek God the way you've always seek God, then He's only going to reveal Himself the way He's always revealed Himself. If we wake up at 5 o'clock every morning and pray, you know, and spend time with God and read our Bible, then God won't show us anything new. Now, if we go, you know what? God, I'm going to take you to Kroger's with me today. God, show me something today. Lord, I'm going to worship you with all my heart today. I want you to show me. I'm going to make the first of a series of actions in my life to change this complacency, to change this lethargy that I've been going through. I need to change this mentality that I've had. I need to change my reality into your reality. If we go in with that desire, then God's going to meet us where we're at. And then God's provisions. It's more than just supplying our food and supplying our clothes and supplying our gas for our cars and for that. It's applying the equipment we need to go out and be Christians in this daily life. How many people know that that biggest provision He gave to us was the Holy Spirit? The biggest provision He gave to us was the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that was in Jesus. And He was perfect. Resides in my heart. I don't think y'all are hearing me. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead. The same power that rose Brandon from the dead. The same power that rose Brad from misery and pain and heartache is the same power that resides in me. What's our stance on sin now? What's Jesus' stance on sin? That should be ours. We need to put the line down and say, this no more. We are taking authority over the enemy. Thursday night at pastor's house, and I want to encourage you all, let's pack his house out with prayer. I can tell you 10 reasons why I couldn't be there Thursday night. I probably have them. But I could tell you reasons why I can't do something for God. But the only reason I have to do it for God is because He told me to. That's all I need. That's all I need. God told me once that I need to go pray for the church. And I need to go pray for revival. And that's all it takes. He says, if my people were called by my name, hey, He called you. You know, because you asked Jesus into your heart. So He called you to pray. We can't seek God the same way we've always seek God because He's increasing our faith. He's increasing it. And it all comes back to one reason why He increases our faith. Anybody know that reason? Boom! Spread the kingdom of God. The reason we get filled with the Holy Spirit isn't for our benefit. It's for the lost. It's for the prodigals. It's for the Ethans. It's for the Brandons. It's for your sons and your daughters, your grandchildren, your neighbor, your aunts, your uncles. The whole reason why we get filled with the Holy Spirit so we can spread the love of Jesus to everyone we come in contact with. How well do we do? Are we afraid of confrontation? I'm talking as much to me right now as you guys. I don't like to be told that you're just a Bible thumper. You know, I've been called it. And that's okay. That's okay. Because what we need to know is that when I was coming back to the Lord, is that I had parents who were still speaking truth into my life, no matter the consequence. I was in some bad stuff. I was in some relationships that I had no business being in. And my dad grabbed me. And he goes, "Don't you know Jesus loves you? You can't do this." And I said, "Whatever, Dad." And I walked away. But that's always in there. It's always in there. It's always in here. It's always in my heart. Don't give up. Pray harder. Get deeper. We had a word from the Lord a few weeks ago, and it said, and God told me that we're only ankle deep. And we had some awesome things going on, man. People getting slain in the Spirit, people getting filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, prophecy happening, people, you know, interpretations, all these things. All these things were happening. And we're all, "Woo, Jesus!" That's ankle deep. What's the next deep? Let's wade out a little farther. Well, what does that take? That means we have to be more committed as we wade. What does waist deep look like? Waist deep, you better know your footing. You better know what's underneath you. Because at any moment, that current's going to take you. That undertow is going to come. You don't know what's under there. You don't know what you're stepping in or on, or if it's hard. But what you know is that each step I take, I'm seeking God. Each step I take, I'm going to get deeper in. That's my heart. And that's me sharing my heart. And I don't know why I spend time writing notes. I never use them. You can ask the youth kids. Most of the time it's I open the Bible and I go, "You know what? This is what God wants for you. This is what God needs our church to be." Look around the room. There are people missing. Before you call them and say, "Where have you been?" pray for them. Ask God to use the gifts He's given you in the Holy Spirit to speak something into their life. Maybe you have a word of knowledge for them. Maybe you, God will give you insight on something they're going through and you can speak right to that. Are we putting a God on a box? I feel like religion does that. I feel like Christians, the only limitations God has is what I put on Him. And when I think that He's going to do something the same way He's always done things, you know, never again probably will Jesus or will God part the Red Sea for people to walk through. Never again will He probably shut the mouths of lions. He can. He can. But why? Because He's a creative God. He'll find a new way. You know, in all reality, I was studying Daniel, and that was one of the sermons. But what happened was, is what happens if Daniel in the lion's den, if he just removed all the lions? What happens if he gets down there and he transports Daniel out? You know, we've seen it with Peter. You know, he gets him out of jail. He could have got him out of the lion's den. But what happens? The same thing happens. All glory goes to God. And a side note on that is the king had faith. The king's the one who said, "Daniel, your God's going to deliver you from this." It wasn't Daniel who said it to him. It's the king. He already knew it. He already knew that there was power. And he goes, I have to follow my law. But your God will deliver you from this. And who was the first one at the den in the morning? It was the king. What kind of faith do you think that king had after that? He spoke it and it happened. I'm going to close. If anybody needs prayer, we are always here. We are always here to pray. Always here to pray. But let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing here at New Life. Lord, if there's any words that I spoke that isn't of you or isn't going to be received, well, I ask that you just burn those away. Just get those out of the thought processes right now. Lord, I ask that you just move on our hearts, that we receive what you have to do. Lord, we just thank you for this day, and we give you all the glory. And as we leave this place, Lord, that your glory goes with us. Lord, we just thank you. We trust you in everything we do. Yes. Lord, you want to do awesome things in our lives. Lord, help us to not put limitations on you when we walk out these doors. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.